This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Victory Monday brought to you by Callen. From kitchen and bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin fiberglass replacement windows, Callen makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today at callcallen.com. It's Kyle Bruston-Northman with you across ESPN Wisconsin. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Brad Northman, Strophy running the show. Riley Yauch, the Yauchmeister, happy with that Badger victory. Heard him on the Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show. He's all happy as can be. Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Kyle, what's your new take of the day since we just spent a long time on your horrible take to start?
For me, when I look at this Green Bay Packers defense, I saw enough, right? I understand that this offense for the Vikings, they have a lot of weapons, but their quarterback is awful. J.J. McCarthy is bad. But what the Green Bay Packers were able to do to J.J. McCarthy is they made him not even look like an NFL quarterback. I've seen J.J. McCarthy allow for this team to lead this Vikings team down the field to take the lead against the Bears. I've seen them compete against the Ravens. I've seen them beat the Detroit Lions that we're facing this week. So I understand he isn't the best quarterback, but J.J. McCarthy has been below average, but the Green Bay Packers made him look like he did.
No, not below average. But, he's been the worst quarterback in the NFL.
He's been bad, but he's been able. But again, they won. They were able to win football games with him. They were able to take the lead late in the fourth quarter with him. What the Green Bay Packers defense did yesterday, they made him look like he was a high school football quarterback. The Green Bay Packers defense harassed him. They made him feel ghost. They made him feel pressure. It was just a masterpiece done by the Green Bay Packers. Where do you guys realize there was a point yesterday where the Green Bay Packers at corner had a seventh-round pick in Carrington Valentine from a couple years ago, and a guy named Kamal Haddon, that played in there. And
what was his name?
Kamal Haddon.
Which one?
Kamal Haddon.
Because you said it wrong twice.
Okay. But they had him out there, a sixth-round pick from a whole other organization that the Green Bay Packers picked up, and you didn't even notice. And they were going against Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, and the Green Bay Packers defensive line and pass rush was so solid. The linebacking play was so solid, even without Quay Walker, that they were absolutely able to stifle that offense. And the biggest play to me that really was the turning point for my mind mentally, like, okay, this defense is turning the corner. 3rd and 1, Kevin O'Connell puts the tight end under center, tries to sneak it, they stuff it. 4th and 1, they run the ball, the Green Bay Packers stuff them. They had two opportunities to get 1 yard, and your defense imposed your will on them. That is what elite defenses do. They get sacks, they force turnovers, and they made some big plays yesterday, and then they stop teams from doing what they want to do, especially when it comes to 1 yard. 1 yard in the NFL, it ain't easy to get 1 yard, but we see all the time, Brad, Ben, y'all see a QB sneak can get you 1 yard so easily. Nope, the Green Bay Packers stuffed it not once, but they stuffed them twice. To me, that shows me that this Green Bay Packers defense that's top 10 in overall sacks, is top 10 in yards allowed, that this defense is an elite defense that we are witnessing. So the Green Bay Packers offense better make sure that they're hitting on all cylinders, because you got yourself an elite defense that can get you to a championship.
Well, we might be splitting hairs here a little defense. Bit, but I don't think you can crown elite after the Vikings, right? That's my only pushback. I think this team is very good. I'm not sure they're elite. Texans, Broncos, Browns, Rams. Those are my top 4 defenses that I think are all elite statistically and great at every level. Here's the problem, Kyle. Yes, they dominated the Minnesota Vikings. But J.J. McCarthy, it's hard to describe exactly how bad he is.
Saying below average was like such a compliment.
EPA is a complicated stat, right? But basically, it tries to estimate what the average, what's expected of you when it comes to performance on any given play. So if you do well in EPA, you're doing more than expected. If you do worse, you're doing less than what's expected of you from an average NFL player. J.J. McCarthy, 851st out of 852 quarterbacks since 2000 in EPA. So basically, he is among the worst quarterbacks played in the NFL since the year 2000, based on this really in-depth stat.
The only quarterback worse, Jamarcus Russell.
Russell, yep.
That is shocking. Absolutely shocking. So I don't think by dominating J.J. McCarthy can you say, oh yeah, this Packers defense is elite. However, Kyle, they are 5th in points, 10th in passing defense, 7th in rushing, 6th in total defense. So they're a top 10 defense. Everything. They're knocking on the door top 5. The problem is, you've brought this up in the past too, they're 21st in turnovers. God, and that's after a stretch of more turnovers. So if you're an elite defense, you got to have more turnovers.
Were they in the run game again?
They are 7th. Seventh
they
in
were
rushing.
Third, and I think what's interesting is if obviously the game flow played out the way the Packers wanted it to after that muff punt, but Jahmyr Gibbs David Montgomery.
This is where I was going to go next. The Detroit Lions, they're second in points when it comes to offense. They are still one of the best offenses in the NFL, right? Even with the Dan Campbell calling the plays back and all the things. If you want to be an elite defense, you hold the Lions to under 20 points. I will dub this team, assuming they continue the same level of aggression and playmaking ability and stifling the other team. You hold the Lions under 20 points, now you're an elite defense. Elite defenses don't just crush bad opponents, which they did in Minnesota. You put a ceiling on great offenses, and that is what they can do on Thursday. So assuming they do that, I will be in your camp. But if the Lions score over 20 points and they're effective and Jahmyr Gibbs is out there putting up, 125 total yards of they're not quite there yet.
No, this is what I would say to that is that I believe this defense is elite because when you look at their opponents when they play great teams like the Eagles who have offense has been inconsistent, the Green Bay Packers defense was able to hold them, right? Like what I've seen from this team is that when we need this defense to step up, they have stepped up. Every single loss that happened this year, the defense was not at fault. It fell on the offense.
That's
and how
true.
Often can we say that in the past for the Green Bay Packers? Almost never. And so for me, the defense seemed like they have given this team every single opportunity to win in every football game. And that is what a defense needs to do.
Did they feel a lead against the Giants, though?
They against the Giants, they had some issues. Stopping the run was definitely some issues. Again, when they allow for these teams to execute these game plans, were able to run the football. But again, they still made the plays that they needed to in the end, where they got the turnovers.
They did
when
that.
They needed to put the football game away, which is so important. And again, I'll go back to J.J. McCarthy. He's not a good quarterback, but J.J. McCarthy against the Detroit Lions, he did exactly what he needed to do in order for that team to win. J.J. McCarthy against the Ravens, they lost that football game, but he went for 248. Just last week against the Chicago. Wait a minute. Just let me fit.
He's historically one of the worst quarterbacks. You're throwing more qualifiers them elite after
I'm not,
the Vikings
I'm not giving
game.
More qualifiers. What I'm saying is what the Green Bay Packers did, they made him look silly. He couldn't even throw the ball. Against the Chicago Bears, he led a fourth quarter comeback against the Bears team that may end up making the playoffs, how things are shaking out. But we were able to not allow for him to do anything. So all I'm saying is J.J. sucks, but the Green Bay Packers defense was so damn good that they made him look abysmal out there. So they took a D quarterback and made him an F-. I don't even know if an F-.
He was already an F-, and he stayed an F-.
F-minus does not lead a team downfield to two touchdowns and back in a game where they take the lead late. That's not what an F-minus quarterback does.
They literally got a short field turnover in which he had to make one throw.
He led this team to a comeback. He beat
the
Detroit Lions.
You started this conversation about them being elite.
They are elite.
How do you define elite?
I don't care because I want to bring up the fact that everything he had said – maybe isn't wrong, but we're going to find out more. And for you to even say after the Lions, you can anoint them elite, that's too far. The Packers' toughest part of the schedule is the last half. And why you know it's the last half of the season is because you can look at what a strength of schedule is before the season even starts. It don't mean jack until games start being played. You now know that it's tough when you got to play the Lions. You got to play the Ravens, even though whatever. If I'm going
Ravens
against,
are playing
if
good
I'm
football.
Going against Lamar, I want to see my defense stop Lamar. I want to see them stop the Lions. I want to see them beat the Bears twice. Like, say what you want about the Bears. They've won enough games.
We keep moving the goalposts.
No, there's no moving the goalposts.
Wait a minute.
It's called how the season progresses and who your opponents are. Look back at the records of the teams that they faced and look at who the records of the teams are about to play.
So we get no credit for holding the Eagles to 2 points?
You get credit, but you don't get to call a team elite when you're not in the elite categories, as Brad mentioned, of the other teams.
They're top 10 in everything but turnover.
We're through week 12, Kyle.
They're top 10 in everything but turnover.
Top 10? That's not elite!
Listen, this defense has not lost you not one single football game.
That's because of the opponents they played. That's why I'm saying you're going to know if they're elite when you play
these
better opponents.
Wait a minute. So the Eagles aren't a great opponent? Is that what we're sitting here saying?
The majority of them. There is 12 games. When you can only point at the Lions and the Eagles.
That's what the schedule has given us.
I know, which is my point. That when you face more good opponents later, you're going to have be better able dissect and figure out if they are or are not. Are they good to great and even great? Absolutely. Can you call them elite until they do it against the better teams in the schedule? You can't.
I would say,
but they're on their way. I just can't say that they're elite yet, and that's okay to say.
You're right that the defense hasn't caused them any losses, right? It's been firmly on the offense or bad decision-making or stuff like that. if and when this team actually becomes an elite defense, a top three defense, I think they might be a Super Bowl contender. I think they're very good. I don't think that's quite enough to be a true Super Bowl contender.
Fredo chimes in real quick on the Carbus Talking text line before we get to Jason Wilde. Kyle literally is putting on a J.J. McCarthy performance today.
I highly disagree. I think the facts are the facts. When you look at this defense, again, I'm not saying J.J. is good at all. I'm just saying they made him look even worse. I mean, this guy looked very incapable yesterday.
Didn't watch J.J. McCarthy. You just followed the numbers say.
I've seen highlights of J.J. McCarthy.
Highlights? I've watched the games. I literally, before this week, compared him to Zach Wilson on the Jets, and he proved that against the Packers.
So how in the world did this team go and beat the Lions? How in the world
did this team, turnover. That's how those happen.
How in the world did this team go and have an opportunity and lead with the Bears late? The quarterback still plays a role in that. The Green Bay Packers.
He's 851 out of 852 since 2000. You're trying to make him sound better than he is.
So the Green Bay Packers didn't make him look just pathetic.
They did.
This had to be his worst professional football game ever, and your defense did it. Had a lot of opportunities, but your defense did.
That doesn't make them elite.
No. Okay.
Well, I think defense.
The body of work for
elite
me is elite.
Elite defense does do this, but it's part of them showing consistently that they will be that.
Because the week before, you just said they
weren't against the Giants.
As a betting man that you were, if we were to bet whether or not the Green Bay Packers would hold the Eagles at 10 points or less, you would have took the over 1,000 times. 1,000 times. And we give the defense no credit. We just forget about that. The defense has showed up for you.
And against the Giants, you would have said they wouldn't have scored as many points as they did 1,000 times.
It goes the same way, which shows that they're not elite yet. I was disappointed. I mean, listen, elite defense. Hell, didn't the Giants put up damn near 50 against the Broncos? The Giants were up like 34-3 or 34-6 against the Broncos, and the Broncos came back to beat them.
Over the full season, they have better numbers than the Packers and metrics to prove that out.
No, that's another great defense that they have down there in Denver. But I think the Green Bay Packers defense is elite, and I'm standing on it. What I saw yesterday just gave me even more confidence that this football team
against the Vikings. Just pick after the Lions game, not after JJ McCarthy.
They harassed that offensive line. They weren't able to run the football.
They suck. They're 4-7. JJ McCarthy is the worst quarterback in the NFL. It's a good thing they did this. That doesn't mean they've become elite after the Vikings. Jason Wilde joins us next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Here's the worst thing that happened about Brad Nortman producing Kyle Bruston Nortman, and is Kyle, you know what's going to happen? He's going to have so much like softness in his heart for producers.
I lost a guy.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The people that watch the Jets regularly, those four people, yeah, I don't know.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
This is like me announcing that I'll be on Wildey's House tomorrow. I mean, God willing, if the creek don't rise.
Holding everybody accountable.
You play to your strength, and their strengths, if their offensive line can block the right people.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Nortman. Jason
Wilde joining us here on Kyle Bruston Nortman. On this Victory Monday, brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Jason, how are ya?
You can find it in my freezer. I got about 6 different ones. Love the Screamin' Sicilian.
Yeah, they have something for everyone, thin and crispy. I'm stuffed, the tavern style, the OG Screamin'. It doesn't get any better than Palermo's. Are you doing well?
Well, I would be, but I happen to be scrolling through my social media. Are you guys okay?
No. I'm glad you're here, Jason.
What's on social?
Like, I didn't. You guys were. I turned it off. There was so much yelling.
Fair. I cannot get over the fact that Kyle Wallace wants the Packers to make a statement on 3rd and 3 when J.J. McCarthy is the worst quarterback in the world. Matt LaFleur executed his game plan to perfection.
No.
I'm not even defender guy, but Kyle is wanting to prove something on 3rd and 3 by scoring a touchdown.
Jason, I said just to start the fourth quarter, I would have loved for him to put the ball in the hands of Jordan Love on that play, but instead he said, hey, we're in 4-down territory. They end up losing a yard, and then they end up kicking a field goal. I said put it in Jordan Love's hands to move the chain, not run the ball on that play.
Yeah, I, like Kyle, I consider you a friend. I appreciate the fact that you make me cooler. You're the guy that
all
makes
right,
me understand.
Jason, all right, Jason. All right. What's
people.
The period here? Or the
butt? But here's yeah. So I hate it when I have to come on this show and then get after you. I take no joy in that. Like
I do.
You're one of my favorite people. No, I don't. I really don't. Just like I didn't enjoy getting after Steve Scafidi yesterday on Green Bay game day. Like I don't, I take no joy in that, but I can't. And look, there's plenty to criticize with Matt LaFleur. I don't want to be depicted as the beat guy who is, you know, carrying water for the head coach. I most definitely am not. And I think there's a lot of criticism that is warranted from the first, what are we in now? 7-3-1. So the first 11 games. I'm fine with that. I don't have any problem with people criticizing things that deserve to be criticized. And you certainly have every right to criticize whatever you so choose, but then it becomes my job to tell you why you're wrong. And if you look at the way the game was played, like we have one of the greatest punters in Badger history, and certainly one of my favorite punters, although not number one, at our disposal. And punters are a weapon. Are they not?
Yeah.
Used properly if they're talented, right? Daniel Whelan, certainly a good example. Brad Nortman, certainly a good example. So yesterday, so are kickers who are accurate. And I understand that you probably had some apprehension based on the way one Brandon J. McManus had kicked the ball of late, that maybe he would miss a couple of those field goals that he attempted there in the second half. But, man... you and Christian Watson's dad wanted them to go for the jugular on that 3rd-and-3. I am telling you, the only way they lose that game to the Vikings after the play where Zane Anderson pushes Miles Davis, I think his name is Miles Price, into the ball for the turnover, and then they go in and score the touchdown to make it 17-6. Do you really believe, based on the way they were playing offensively and the way the Packers defense was playing, and the fact that Christian Darrisaw was hobbling around till he left the game, their stud left tackle, did you really think that at that moment where you are wanting to make the statement or whatever, however you want to view throwing the ball on that 3rd-and-3, do you really believe that the Vikings had it in them to come back from a 2-touchdown deficit at that point in the game?
And that's why it comes about just putting the damn game away and letting your team execute. That's what it comes down to.
Thank you, Jason.
So why
let him speak?
Wait, so Jason, why throw the ball three times the next drive then?
All right, first of all, let's rewind to the discussion of this, okay? I don't think people are understanding how potentially significant, because Jordan Love played through it in the grand tradition of Aaron Rodgers trying to play with a broken left hand and Brett Favre playing through everything he played through. The same injury that Jordan Love has, now they can vary in severity, but the same injury that he has, a separation and sprain of the AC joint, which is where your collarbone meets your rib cage in your chest. That is the same injury that Carson Wentz was struggling in incredible pain to finish that game for the Vikings a few weeks ago. That it's the same injury that knocked Baker Mayfield out of the game last night. The fact that Jordan Love was handing off with his right hand, regardless of whether the run was to the right or to the left, tells you that that obviously was painful, right? Because otherwise you're jeopardizing. He didn't even do that when he had the broken thumb or when he had the torn thumb ligaments that he had surgically repaired, because that is asking for a fumble. But he did it because that must have caused so much pain in that shoulder, the jarring of handing it off that way, that he didn't do that. I'm guessing it's also why there was so much shotgun, even when he didn't need it to be shotgun yesterday. So by putting him in situations where he is throwing the ball frequently, probably puts him in greater danger. Now, I would think that some of what your argument is what you said about throwing the ball on the ensuing series. I get it. I'm assuming that Matt LaFleur was trying to keep people like you and people like you on his team happy by throwing the ball at least a little bit. But he called the same running play over and over and over again, not because he wasn't creative enough to come up with anything else. It's because he knew and he learned his lesson from the Cleveland game.
Browns game.
Because I still blame Jordan Love for throwing that interception. He deserves criticism for that. But the fact of the matter is that there was no way the Browns were going to drive the field to beat them if they just punt that ball away. So that's a loss that they have on their ledger. So he learns from that, is smart enough not to put his quarterback or his team in harm's way, where really only mistakes that hand the ball over to the Vikings can lose them that game. And you're killing them for it now. I don't get it. Like, do I think that they can run the same game plan on Thursday? Of course not. And if he did, you should light him up to beat the band. I don't know if you guys are doing a show on Friday, but whenever you're on the air again, if he runs the same exact game plan against the Lions, he should be roundly criticized. And quite frankly, all the people that want him to be on the hot seat should turn up the heat for sure. But I can guarantee you he's not going to run that. And for those that want him to be, you know, that was my angle yesterday in my story. Those who want him to be all gas, no brakes, probably going to have to be a lot more gas and a lot less brake against the Lions on Thursday, right? But against the team, you saw how bad J.J. McCarthy was. Why would you risk anything when you already have a 2-touchdown lead?
It's freaking football. Every time you drop back, you hand the football off or whatever it is, you're risking something. You're risking Emmanuel Wilson, as he did later in that game.
That's a terrible argument.
You know, it's not a terrible argument. Emmanuel Wilson, his knee was down, but anything can happen. Jordan Love is your best player. I think asking to put the ball in Jordan Love's hand on one play on 3rd-and-3 to move the chain.
Which of the players was playing with an injury? I'm sorry, which of them was playing injured?
He played the whole game injured. If you're not good enough to complete If you're not good enough to complete a pass 3rd-and-3 after you pass the ball throughout the game, you pass the ball the next drive, and you're going to sit here and tell me that, oh, well, we needed to protect him on the 11-yard line when you're going in to potentially score on 3rd-and-3? Stop it.
Time and score mattered there.
Time and score. They got the ball back again, and they still threw the football. I'm just saying one play, 3rd-and-3, put it in Jordan Love's hands and move the chain. That is the thing. I'm not criticizing the whole game play call. I'm talking about in that moment, I wanted Matt LaFleur to be less conservative and more aggressive and put the ball in Jordan Love's hand to move the chains, especially from the 11-yard line, to try to put the ball in the end zone. That's all.
So he kicks the 30-yard field goal after – and look, maybe it's possible. I think LaFleur even said it after the game. That one, the reason why he ran it was he was thinking it was two down.
It was four down territory.
Yeah, gonna run it again.
But they lost
right.
a yard.
So if that was his theory, that he could then run it again on 4th-and-1, you still have an issue with them not throwing it there?
My whole thing was, I said, you know what? I understand where he was getting at, but I would have loved the fact that he would have just thrown the ball on 3rd-and-1 on the first place because I wanted him to be more aggressive. When he explained it after the game, I said, okay, I get what his mentality was. It was, we've been picking up yards, running the football. He wasn't expecting to lose 1 yard, but I would have preferred to throw the ball anyways on that play. That's what it came down to for me.
And on the next drive, they throw the short pass to Fitzpatrick that gets called back. Then he, again, throws a ball that gets the ball out of his hand quickly, short pass to Wiley. Then he gets the ball out of his hand quickly again to Watson, and then they run Emmanuel Wilson again. So it's technically, since the first pass is wiped out, it's two passes and a run, and then they settle for another field goal, right? So, like, he's not throwing anything. If you don't believe that he wasn't protecting Love, I can't have this debate with you, because the way he called the passes that he did run were also get the ball out of his hand quickly so he's not in danger. Did you see the play where Eric Wilson comes up the middle and no one blocks him?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the Love makes an unbelievable throw to get he's playing with that injury. He sees him get hit on that play. There was another play too where he got hit pretty good. I don't understand why you don't think the idea of protecting your allegedly franchise quarterback
is 3rd-and-3
in a
Jason.
Game that you're up by 14 points.
I understand if they ran the ball.
I can't have this.
If they ran the ball the entire time after this, then fine. You got it. But you literally just told me about how
they
threw the ball.
Third and three again on the next series.
But they threw the ball the same time the next series as well. I'm just saying, Jason, everybody's telling me, oh, well, you know, we just got to protect Jordan Love. Well, yeah, didn't do it the next drive because he threw the ball multiple times and one got called
back.
You're right,
Kyle. They didn't run the ball 50 times and didn't have him throw it zero times. You're right about that.
Thank you.
Jason, I appreciate you joining because I feel so much more at peace.
I had so much more I wanted to ask Jason, and then there was so much more. Brad didn't get to ask Jason any questions. There's so much more than this one play and scenario.
It was validation that I know I'm
not
crazy.
Well, we didn't need validation.
What else do you want to ask?
Yeah, Jason, wealth of knowledge. You got something else, Brad?
I'll make you a deal. I'll stay around and answer more questions if you don't try to grade how the segment went.
I don't grade how the segment went. I say if I liked it or not. And this one, Jason, it'll be mad because me and you didn't see eye to eye. I go based off if we see eye to eye. You were phenomenal on Thursday. We were cooking. I don't give you a
Wait,
grade.
So you grade it, but you.
I don't give grades.
Whether you liked it or not. Yeah. Okay.
If you agree with his opinion.
Jason, it's a bit. If you agree with me, I say, oh, Bulaga was phenomenal today. Or, oh, Tausch, he was cooking today. Like last week, Tausch was good until he wasn't.
Yeah, I don't operate that way. What was the question you wanted to ask?
Brad, you want to go?
You said you have more questions. Now you're deferring.
I could definitely ask more questions.
Kyle, you got.
Okay, sounds good.
It's me and Jason today. At 10:30.
Yeah, but we're coming back at 10:30 on Sunday, Karma. How was Micah Parsons overall? Is this his presence and his performance? It's just changing his defense in this game, like. When this last game just happened with the Minnesota Vikings, his overall presence is just incredible. I mean, you got to say, Jason, at this point, this trade was a 100% win for the Green Bay Packers, was it not?
Yes, I agree with you, Kyle.
Thank you, Jason.
Interview's going good.
You're welcome.
Jason.
A plus.
Jason, Emmanuel Wilson had an awesome game, obviously. Did he make a case in your eyes to get more touches even when Josh Jacobs comes back healthy?
Well, it depends if Kyle thinks so I can agree with him or not.
That should be. Oh, Jason, you could have just ended there, and that would have been great because I was going to ask you one. You could have done the same thing.
I want to give Brad the proper respect. I do think that he has made a case. And look, he made a case last year, right? I mean, people forget that this is a guy who ran for 500 yards last year, averaged just a tiny little smidge under 5 yards a carry. Like, he's a really good number two back, and nobody really knows him because he came from a tiny Division II school. And I just think that, you know, there are teams in this league that could win with him as their running back. And so, and quite frankly, and I am not in any way anti Josh Jacobs. I am a big Josh Jacobs proponent. His contract is such that it makes me wonder if they will keep him next year. And by the way, for DMWB57, that is not arrogance. That is disagreeing with Kyle. I don't understand how he's arguing what he is, so it's confusion, not arrogance. I don't understand what exactly we're going to see in the coming weeks, because I do think Wilson has merited more playing time. I'm trying to look at the his snap counts for this season before yesterday, because he's obviously the clear-cut number two, and Josh Jacobs is on the field a ton. Josh Jacobs has played 58% of the snaps. I don't know if this includes yesterday or not. Emmanuel Wilson had played 30.7% of the snaps.
That's actually less for Jacobs than I thought, and more for Wilson than I would have thought.
You took the words right out of my mouth. So Chris Brooks has played 14.5% of the snaps.
Made
so,
him count. I love Chris Brooks is in there.
Yeah, I agree with Kyle. I like Chris Brooks a lot.
Well, Jason, we do appreciate the time, and I do think it's a worthwhile discussion because there are, again, believe it or not, people who were coming to Kyle's defense on the notion of throwing it there, putting in Love's hands, and going for the jugular. But I think we will move on from this, and maybe we try and get you Wednesday if we can make that work. Because I'd love more.
Jason, you were good. Ben was bad.
I don't know if that makes me feel any better or not. You know I love you guys no matter what. I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right. Sounds that would good. Be
Thank
great.
You. Thanks,
Thank
Jason.
You, Jason. Kyle, why don't you tell us about how you protect, you know, your life?
Oh, yes, definitely. I always protect my life with American Family Insurance because life's better with American Family Insurance. That's because their agents will make you feel totally protected with home, auto, or life policy. That's right for you. Also, you're free to enjoy your dreams. Simply visit AmFam.com today to find an insurance agent near you or get a quote instantly online. It is so easy, so convenient, and it is so great when you work with American Family Insurance. So always remember, insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance.
Bradley Nortman, longtime NFL punter who punted for the Badger football team, is rocking some Badger gear. I got a declaration to make about the Wisconsin Badger football team next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Love you.
What?
Love you.
Love you too.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Bradley Nortman, Alex Stroll, front of the show. It's a Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, and you can get the Cheez-It Legendary Snack Cracker in frozen pizza form. Each crust is a giant original Cheez-It flavored cracker crust that's square-shaped, ultra-thin, and super crispy, and it's got the perfect amount of Cheez-It flavor. You got Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni, and with that short bake time, you'll go from freezing to cheesing. As few as 8 minutes. Find cheese and frozen pizza in your local grocer's freezer section. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Bradley Nortman, Strofe, doing a great job today.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome. On YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison, and on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Now, the Wisconsin Badgers, second home upset against a ranked opponent.
Let's go.
Yeah. What I will say is, I ain't apologizing to anything just yet or saying I'm wrong, but I'm willing to say that if they beat Minnesota and this team wins 8 games next year, I will give a public apology. I will go to Camp Randall. I will set up radio equipment. I will do the show outside of Camp Randall. I will have a pie me in the face stand. If Luke Fickle or any fan of the Badgers that is stuck through Fickle wants to come pie me in the face, you will have the perfect opportunity to do so. You got to beat Minnesota. You win 8 games. Public apology. I was wrong about the Fickle era. But until then, I hope they beat Minnesota because, again, the way this is all gone is I've never been like, I'm so happy the Badgers stink. I love Badger football. I still have the faith that this is going to all work out the way it should with how much you're paying the coach? I don't. But is it good to see wins? Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a painful season. And Ben and I have worn, and Kyle, you too, have worn our frustration on our sleeves, right? Mm. I mean, we in real time, we're reacting, and we're trying to give our fans, and honestly, our own hearts, something to get handles on. Because when you lose games like they did, there's got to be answers, there's got to be something that changes. And to Luke Fickle's credit, and the Wisconsin Badgers' credit, and those players' credit, they made changes. And they're playing better football. They're playing with juice. They're starting to figure out that maybe we can't pass the ball. Maybe we just need to run. The defense is flying around. Ted Kellner came on this program and said there should be more money next year. All reasons for optimism. Now, this thing is not fixed, right? There's a long way to go. There's a long journey to win back fans, to actually win games on the field, to put yourself back to where Wisconsin football should be. However, about 3 weeks ago, I thought there was no bright spots, no silver lining, no light at the end of the tunnel. There's a glimmer. There's a glimmer there where I have like a little bit of optimism where if they still need to win the axe, right? I mean, unfortunately, this has become a huge game and really something that matters. This isn't just the, oh yeah, we're going to beat Minnesota well on our way to a bowl game. That's not the case anymore. However, if this team can beat Minnesota and this team could turn it around next year, we're
with
8 wins.
The investment.
Eight wins should be the expectation given the schedule, the reinvestment, and what Wisconsin football is in the fourth year of Luke Fickle. I will gladly applaud. I get no joy.
You don't want to sit next to me and get pie in the face?
I'll sit right next to you, Ben.
All right.
The thing is, I want that to happen.
I agree. Like,
it gives me no joy.
It gives
He'll
me
sit
no,
next to me. But yeah, no
yeah,
pies
yeah.
In
I'll encourage you to throw your pie harder at Ben.
You'll make the pies for them to put in my face.
It gives me no joy to see the Wisconsin program in this state. I was so excited when Luke Fickell was hired and thought this could be it. So I'm wearing my emotions on my sleeve right there with you. But my emotions right now say there's a little glimmer of hope, and I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah, my biggest pet peeve with this overall program under Luke Fickell was the lack of development, right? We didn't see this team get better, but more importantly, this team did not play with heart. That team they had last year did not play for the W on their helmet. This team this year is playing for the W, but also they're playing for their football coach, and that's what you expect from a team that is mostly guys that are recruited by Luke Fickell. And so I love to see the development of a Catalano and a Posa as well on the inside, because now this defense has an identity where they're keeping us in football games. It felt so good on Saturday, and then a couple weeks ago against Washington, where you just kind of felt like the Badgers are going to win. Like early in that game, you kind of felt like, okay, you feel good about it like you did against Washington. So these are great victories for the Wisconsin Badgers. And now you can turn to Axe Week, where you actually have hope that the Wisconsin Badgers can beat a very beatable Minnesota team. So this is a big game for the program, a huge game for the program, because now this is an opportunity for you to end your season on a high note where you win three of your last four football games, you beat Brett Bielema, and then you also beat a ranked Washington, and more importantly, you beat Minnesota at Minnesota. You run across the field to go grab that axe, and you celebrate feeling happy about yourself going into the offseason. This is a big game for the Badgers. This is our Super Bowl.
What's remarkable is, I mean, the way this team was playing earlier in the season, they were playing so bad with so little heart. And what you just described, I mean, they were playing like they were one of the worst teams in college football. This team over the month of November, completely different team. If you would have still had the losses but played like they're playing now, there would have been less criticism. There would have been less going on. So I can't wait for this game on Saturday. I can't wait to win the axe back, hopefully. And the meaning of that axe back has been a lot greater now than in prior years.
Yeah, obviously you don't like sitting on the side where the season comes down to, like, where, you know, whether you're bowl eligible at 5 or 7 or not. Because
it could be bowl eligible.
I know.
We could have a bowl game if they win here, fellas. We could be going back bowling.
To me, it's not about bowling at 5 and 7. It's just continuing to give proof as to why people should believe. And Saturdays, I know I said it, that they don't exist. These last 3 weekends, because even in the first half against Indiana, they made people believe
they're good
that
first
something
half
was there. And when you win 2 games, and this Illinois game, I think, was a perfect reason to rope people into, all right, we've now shown consistency. I love what Kyle said. Like, losing to Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa the way they did last year, to now at the end of this season, after Brett Bielema, the last time that Paul Chryst was the coach, kind of came in here and the changing of the guard happened, dominated you on that very same field. And you did that to them, winning in the trenches, the defensive line getting the pressure. Like, there's things that you get excited about as a Badger football fan, despite if you believe it all will work in the end or not. It makes you excited to see, like, things that are like you could rely on. I always talked about how In the old 3-4 days of the system, it could be 3rd and 6 on Wisconsin's 30. And I'd be like, one of them edge rushers are going to come off the edge and they're going to knock them out of field goal range. Now it's like you got some brick walls in there. Rager, Posa, like there's some hard-hitting, tough guys out on the field on defense that give you pride. And does the offense look that great? No. But they find a way. They've been more creative, using a little bit more direction.
Better.
Carter Smith is running the football. Like, they're playing to their strength. Mm-hmm. And so you got to give them that. Is it a finished product? No. But they have me excited about watching them. Will it work? We'll see. I hope that they beat the Minnesota Golden Gophers and they win 8 games.
And bring them to Motor City Bowl, baby!
And I'd love to sit outside Camp Randall.
5 and 7 bowl game. And bring home that.
Stop. Now you're kind of trolling.
No, you got it. Listen, momentum.
There's about 12 other teams that need to lose. But hey, it's possible.
I want to be at Camp Randall getting pied in the face, because that means this worked. And if it means that I'm not getting pied, it's a bad thing. Is he going to pie me too?
Absolutely. I mean, lose that opportunity.
I never wanted the Badgers to lose.
Nobody wanted them to lose.
I mean, I reached a point where I thought it might expedite things a little quicker.
Mm.
But that's why I'm not a coach. Gonna tell you about where I took my anger out when some of those losses were happening, but no longer have to. I can just go there for enjoyment with my fitness, and that's the Princeton Club. Madison, New Berlin, all those locations, Madison. You have so many things for you to do there, whether it be personal training, workout classes, going out, working out by yourself, basketball courts, tennis courts. Find your better tomorrow. You can have a build a strong body, a strong mind, and have a strong community all at the Prince Club. Make sure you check it out. We wrap up ESPN Wisconsin Hour next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
I legitimately understand sugar.
Is it good, Brad?
It's unbelievable. It's so good. I'm changed. Not for the better.
Come on.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We have a whole lot more to get to on 94.5 ESPN and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. I think we can put to rest the what should they have done on third and three conversation.
I hate that so many people are so wrong.
That's Kyle Walls, who wanted him to throw it. I'm Ben Bruss next to Brad Nortman.
God, you got Jim. If only they would have won that game had they
by
thrown
three
it on
scores,
third
too. That would have been crazy.
Oh, man.
Jim, Matt, and Molly, they're next in Madison, the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. We're on in 2 minutes on 94.5 ESPN and YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Do not go anywhere.